The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And as usual, the next hour will be full of information to support your good health. And it's in the manner of a discussion. So you might have an opinion. You might have a disagreement, but overall, for the hour of Natural Doc Radio, what we bring you is information on things to keep you current with regard to supporting your health. Good morning, Dr. Slavin. Are you ready to talk to us yet?
Of course I am. Good morning.
Okay, good morning. So what's on the agenda for today? What do you see?
I thought I'd start off with the news that, if you were listening to it this morning, it was like a headline that Glenn Frey had died.
Oh, that was yesterday's news.
Well, really?
Yes.
I didn't hear it until this morning, I guess.
Okay.
Anyway, if you've never heard of him, he was an American singer, songwriter.
The guitarist for the Eagles.
The reason I'm bringing this up.
Come on, Dr. Slavin.
Well, the reason I'm bringing it up, they said he died from pneumonia. He was a couple things. He died from pneumonia, and if you're 85 years old, that's not too unusual, but he was 67. And then they said he had suffered for a long time. I think they might have said 15 years or 25 years of rheumatoid arthritis. So immediately the thought came to my mind about the drugs they used to treat rheumatoid arthritis, and many of them suppress your immune system.
Because rheumatoid arthritis being an autoimmune dysfunction.
So, you know, that if you look up any of the drugs, this is why it's so careful, so important that you read the adverse effects of drugs that are being prescribed for you, that the medication, one example is like methotrexate. If you read the list of adverse effects, and they're terrible, one of them, as Jana mentioned earlier, some of these drugs, they list death as a possible adverse effect. I think that's an understatement. But it'll suppress your immune system, leave you open to all types of infections, including pneumonia. And that may be the scenario here as to what happened. But they never do that. Earlier, I think it was last week, you had David Bowie and... who was the other one that died?
Alan Rickman, the actor.
Both died of cancer.
Right.
And also young. I think they're about 74. And then Dan Haggerty died. Now, here's a, what do you call this, question. What's that game they used to play? You know, asking questions that have very little import.
Are we playing that game now?
I think so. Dan Haggerty, you know, he was an actor.
Okay.
Gentle Ben. He was the Gentle Ben was the bear.
Okay.
And he was the I guess the owner of the bear. He died, and he was also young.
Hanging out with bears,
died of cancer also. And yet you are constantly being told just how much better we're doing in the war against cancer. In fact, we're so good at winning the war against cancer. Didn't the president last week announce a new war against cancer?
He did.
So then the interesting thought comes to mind when you hear about that is why would, and somebody, they never ask these questions, why would the cancer industry, which is a for-profit industry, and I have nothing against that, but the problem comes up is if you're making money treating cancer. And the highlight here is treating cancer. Why would you want to cure cancer?
Right. There isn't any financial incentive to curing cancer.
Some reports indicate that as many as 1 million people die a year in relationship to cancer, but from the chemotherapy, the treatment.
It's very, very interesting because 25 years ago, I went to a seminar in Tulsa, Oklahoma at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, and they had nutrition and health supporting experts from around the world making presentations about the successes that they were having with their natural treatments and profiling all of the negatives associated with chemotherapy, including that the chemotherapy caused the death of probably half of the cancer patients that were being treated with the chemotherapy. Cachexia was the issue that they were saying the chemotherapy caused, and essentially the healthy cells of the patient starved.
So to put things another way, is there any chance that a multi-billion dollar industry would deliberately make itself obsolete and obliterate its entire business model? I mean, think about that. What's the incentive, really, to cure cancer? In fact,
I think about it for a split second, and I know what my decision-making process would be.
Well, in fact, you see the addition of thousands of carcinogens to the environment every year from these big corporations that are linked into the cancer industry anyway. I'm not saying they're doing that on purpose, but they're also not taking precautions either. It just doesn't seem that the necessary safety studies are being done before various chemicals are the population is being exposed to these potentially carcinogens. And here's the other thing, and this is, if you haven't heard this before, you'll hear it now. And this happens, and even the oncologists will admit this, that tumors grow faster after chemotherapy treatments. And that's a little bit of a misleading statement. What actually happens is the chemotherapy will suppress the tumor temporarily. And once the tumor becomes resistant to the chemo, then it grows really fast and kills the patient.
Right.
And then... And then in a, so I don't know if this was a study or just a interviewing oncologists, they found out that 9 out of 10 oncologists would refuse chemotherapy themselves because they know how toxic it is and probably how, in the long term, how ineffective it is as well.
When you evaluate chemotherapy as a treatment for specific cancers, you might find that the research may possibly extend life by a month, 2 months. And one of the things that I factor into that information is the quality of life during that month or 2 months.
Right, the quality ends the minute you start the chemo. But, you know, I used to say, ask the oncologist, if you're diagnosed with cancer, the reason so many people opt for chemotherapy because they think they're automatically going to die right away without it. So they say, well, might as well go for the chemo. Maybe I have a better chance. You should ask the oncologist would you treat your mother this way? Ask him if he had this problem. Would he take chemo for himself?
Dr. Slavin, I have to tell you, I'm not sure that that's a reliable starting point for a discussion. And the reason is people ask me that all the time. Okay, what would you do? And I have to say, not having ever faced a decision like that, I don't know what I would do, but I believe I would choose other options. I would do much more investigation. And investigating outside of the realm of the AMA here in the United States is very, very interesting, because around the world there are a lot of different approaches to different diagnoses, cancer diagnoses.
Well, that's why behind, I think, each program, is the theme is ways to lower your risk of developing cancer by understanding what the risk factors are. It's dietary, it's environmental, it's stress. But we bring that to your attention so that you have a chance to hopefully lower your risk. Here's an interesting thing talking about the cancer industry. Like any for-profit industry, they need more and more patients. So that's why you have these big
PR campaigns.
Yeah, get your mammogram and things like that, even though study after study has shown mammograms don't save lives. And by that it means that women who get mammograms and then are diagnosed with cancer and then get treated for cancer die just as often as the women not getting mammograms, because it's really a late diagnosis. And I think it also highlights the ineffectiveness of the treatments that we currently have. The interesting thing, the flip side of that is, the women not getting mammograms every year have just as many cancers as the women who are being diagnosed by mammography, but they're not being treated for all those cancers, and the death rate is the same in both groups, which should tell you that breast cancer is not killing women, you know, like you think. You think every woman that gets breast cancer is going to die, and those studies show that's not true, but I think that's the thinking. And then, of course, you have the fundraising that goes on for the cure for cancer. Of course, most of the funds are used to pay for free mammograms screening, which is kind of funny, because the money for the cure goes for mammogram screening to find more patients to treat for breast cancer, in this example.
Very often the money is going to administration, salaries, and so on, non-charitable aspects of the fundraising. It's something that people really should be quite careful about investigating if they are writing checks and thinking that their charitable donations are actually helping individuals.
So, you know, you need to think about anti-cancer foods, make sure your vitamin D levels are optimal, avoid toxic chemicals in the environment. And then speaking about things that can help hopefully make you healthy.
I want to talk about, when we come back from the break, toxic chemicals in the environment. Just a very, very brief discussion. What Dr. Sanjay Gupta had to say on television last night during an interview with regard to the lead in the water in Flint, Michigan. So that music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at janetcimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health. Visit JanetCimarelli.com and tune in to hear me on Natural Doc Radio here on WNN Monday through Friday, 10 to 11.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And just before the break, I said I had a little bit of information with regard to toxic substances in our environment. And what I'm referring to is the current situation of lead levels in the water in Flint, Michigan. And I think that there are a lot of people very, very concerned about it, and it does bring into our consciousness the concept that lead, mercury, cadmium, nickel, arsenic, all of those different heavy metals are kind of readily contaminating our environment. And this is just an example of an extreme situation in Flint, Michigan. Well, Dr. Sanjay Gupta was being interviewed last evening, and what they were talking about, what are the symptoms of lead poisoning, and they went through those symptoms, one of them being for children a reduction in IQ. And the discussion centered around, well, most people are exposed to lead from the leftover from lead having been added to gasoline and lead in pencils, that children are chewing on lead pencils and thereby getting lead into their bodies, and that babies or children are chewing on painted surfaces that are covered with lead-based paint. And all of those kind of exposure situations seem kind of strange to me. I don't know too many places that are now covered with lead-based paint. I don't know too many kids who actually chew on lead pencils. But okay, so here's the lead in the water, and Dr. Gupta was saying, okay, once someone has become toxic with lead, is there any cure for that? And he said, no, there is not. And when I finish this, I'm going to ask Dr. Slavin what he thinks of what Dr. Sanjay Gupta had to say on national television. And he's regarded as an expert. So then there's no cure for it. And Dr. Gupta, how do you determine if someone has a toxic level of lead? And his reply was, you do a blood test. Dr. Slavin, what do you think of what he had to say?
Well, I think that that's the thinking of most doctors. They don't know about provocative tests, meaning you give an agent that pulls the toxins out of your tissues where they're stored, and then your body's able to excrete them in the urine, and you can measure them. If you just do a blood test, that's not where they're stored. So it's like looking in the wrong place for what you're looking for.
It's very, very interesting, because he went ahead and said, these heavy metals are stored in tissue, and he actually said that throughout the body. And so, okay, we know that they're stored in tissue throughout the body, but we're checking the blood levels. A scientific mind, in my opinion, would immediately identify the fallacies in that discussion. I mean, I was so disappointed with him. And when you're going to be interviewed for something so serious as what's going on with this lead poisoning thing, wouldn't you think you'd do a little bit of investigation, some research, and maybe go far afield of a very narrow view that you've been taught?
Well, you would expect that. In fact, we're going to talk about, in a minute, I think you texted me this, there's a something coming out on Frontline.
PBS,
right,
on Frontline,
about supplements, and I think it's going to air, according to this, it was dated January 11th. That means it's going to air today, a week from January 11th. It's next Tuesday.
It didn't say the 25th. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not sure.
Well,
we can...
And I'll tell you what this is about in a second, but you have to... what I'm getting at is I'm going to give you both sides of the story. I won't use the phrase fair and balanced.
Or shall I call you Paul Harvey or the rest of the
No,
story?
I think it's just important because there was another article I was going to get to. Maybe we will. The headline was that a WebMD, who everybody thinks is an independent, unbiased source for information.
A credible source.
May not be because a lot of the information being put out on WebMD is actually paid for by the people that want a positive review. So one of the things that one article said is that Monsanto, WebMD might be a shill for Monsanto. In other words, saying that there's nothing wrong with GMOs. So I went to WebMD and I Googled GMO foods to see what came up. And they had an article there. The headline, GMOs, What You Need to Know. And they go on to say, do you know what's in your food? Chances are it's been genetically modified. Up to 80% of processed foods in the U.S. are, but what does that mean? And what's all the fuss about GMOs these days? Then they go on to say, so like it or not, genetically modified foods are almost impossible to avoid, stated by someone with good credentials from Tufts Medical School. Well, that's true. Genetically modified foods are almost impossible to avoid unless you take the appropriate steps to avoid them. So what are those steps? Well, eat fresh, unprocessed foods that are marked either non-GMO or certified organic, then you could remove it. But every other food outside of that category is going to have genetically modified organisms. And now they go on to say just how good GMOs are. For example, do you want apples that won't brown when you slice them? Or potatoes that don't get bruises from farm to table? This is what the genetically modified versions of these foods can do. I think that's just on the surface, because I think the main purpose of genetically modified foods are twofold, giving Monsanto a chance to control the entire food supply, number one. By that I mean the seeds that they sell the farmers won't reproduce on their own. You have to buy seeds from Monsanto every year. And then it also, I guess, forces the farmers to use their herbicides to kill all the weeds, because these are weed-resistant crops, or let's say weed-killer-resistant crops. And that's where I think the major problem comes in. These crops are being sprayed heavily with these weed killers that are carcinogenic. Now, Monsanto says, no, they're not. It's perfectly safe. And I think this is where the...
And they're basing that statement on their 10-day study of rats.
Well,
they are not including the 3-month study of rats, but just the 10-day study.
So it's an industry and health leaders cite hundreds of studies to support the safety of GMOs. That includes 20 years of studies in animals that have eaten modified food. But other experts say nearly 24 studies show bad effects like harm to the kidneys, liver, heart, and other organs.
Fertility interruption.
And they say, you know, they should carry more weight. People who are against GMOs do not like that Roundup Ready corn is sprayed with toxic chemicals.
K killing monarch butterflies by the millions.
Even though the corn can survive, they worry about how it might affect people or animals that eat it. Well, the corn can survive because they were modified to resist those toxins, but not the humans, not your digestive tract, your microbiome. They haven't been modified to resist those toxins.
Around the world, countries are refusing to have genetically modified foods allowed into their countries.
And the World Health Organization has classified Roundup as a probable carcinogen. That means they think that it probably caused cancer. But Monsanto, who makes Roundup, disagrees and stands by the safety of its corn and GMO foods. The company is responsible for a lot of the world's genetically modified crops. They're the most, this is an interesting statement, they're the most thoroughly tested food on the market, senior science fellow at Monsanto says. Well, how's that about the, you know, you ask the people that you're questioning, is your product safe? What are they going to say, no?
China, Australia, and the EU require labeling, and that's all that people are looking for, that they have a label that's going to tell them whether the food or the ingredients in that food have been genetically modified.
Well, I think it's more than just requiring labeling. You know, and by the way, in this country, Monsanto has fought the labeling of GMO foods, and why would that be if they have, if it's perfectly safe and they have nothing to hide?
Monsanto is suing the state of Vermont because Vermont has passed a statewide requirement that genetically modified foods be labeled in that state.
So this is just an example of how the information you can get on the Internet is a double-edged sword. You have to see where the source of it is. I used to say, too, if you pick up a magazine or a journal, for that matter, look who's paying. Look at what type of advertisements you see in it, because that's going to be a tip-off of what their bias is. So, you know, I wanted to see what countries were, but 19 countries in Europe have completely banned genetically modified crops. So I think, you know, that should tell you a lot. If they're so safe, why would they be banning them in Europe? We just have to be careful about the news we read. And then, you know, and there's nothing wrong. You know, you don't have to be a PhD scientist to use your brain and say, does that make any sense? Because a lot of times they're hiring these people to make you think about things against common sense.
Against prevails in Germany, France, Scotland, Italy, Austria, Greece, Poland, and Belgium. And they are all standing up against genetically modified food. When we come back, I have information about the Frontline program that's going to be airing tonight at 10 o'clock. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janice Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. Stay tuned. More to come.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And we mentioned that Frontline was going to be airing a documentary with regard to vitamins and supplements. And it'll be very, very interesting what the bottom line conclusion is after an hour of their information. But the profile says, an investigation of the dangers of vitamins and supplements, and included in the investigation are the risks of taking mega doses of vitamins and information on how vitamins and supplements are marketed and regulated. And that's tonight at 10 p.m. on TBS. So in Palm Beach County, it's WXEL. I don't know what PBS is in Broward or Dade counties, but you can go, you know, you can Google Frontline, and then there's a way to search for the station.
Well, nobody has seen the show yet or even excerpts. They're holding back on that.
Oh, no, they have a trailer.
Just a little trailer, but here's what they say. About the supplement companies, how can you promote a product by saying it'll make you healthier, but they don't have any proof about the claims they make are true, and perhaps they could be dangerous or should be regulated. So they're trying to say that, you know, supplements have no proven or evidence of its safety or effectiveness. So how can you sell or promote a product with that? Well, doesn't mainstream medicine do that all the time? I mean, I think of vaccinations. I think of...
Have they proven that those are safe and effective?
No, they never do the studies on that.
Oh.
So how do they, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Now, but however, what we do know about vaccines is that hundreds of people die from them. Gardasil is one example. I'll give you an example in a second on that. The second one is we know that millions of people take supplements. No reported deaths from taking supplements, except when they take them inappropriately and usually in the category of weight loss.
What is the fourth leading cause of death in the United States?
Prescription drugs used properly.
Right.
Used as directed.
So very, very interesting that this documentary focuses on potential dangers of supplements. And what I'm going to say is... I laugh when I see the advertisement on television. I'm a pharmacist, and I know good quality vitamins, and you should take this brand of vitamins. And I have looked at that brand of vitamins any number of times. I've evaluated the ingredients, and it isn't always the supplement itself, but in the area outside of the supplement information box says other ingredients, things like polyethylene glycol, artificial colors, dextrose, starch, talc, and the list goes on, polysorbate 80. You don't want to be taking those chemical ingredients as part of your supplement program. So is there a very, very wide range of supplement quality? Yes, indeed. Where do you find the poor quality supplements? Drugstores.
And big discount groceries.
I went into one of those very, very big box discount places where you buy huge quantities of something, and they were having a sale on the supplements. So the supplement boxes were piled up as you walked in the entranceway. And I thought, okay, well, let me see. Maybe this is a very, very good situation so that I can have a real bargain and I'll get some quality. And the truth was, I read the small print on every one of the vitamin products. I would never take it, no matter how good the price, because it was not going to support my health. It had negative ingredients.
Well, just think about this. And again, I'm suggesting you stop listening to the so-called experts and start listening to your own brain. And let's say you sell a product that you happen to think is very good, and there's a competitor out there that sells a product that you think is inferior, and people will find out that it doesn't work and all the claims they make are unjustified. Why would you spend a lot of money and even make a program that costs probably tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to produce?
I know. You have an agenda.
Well, not just that. That you're worried because actually the product is good and it's going to outsell what you have. So if the other product is really bad, you have nothing to worry about. Why go trash it? It's really bad. Like you know. But if it's really good, you're going to trash it and say it's really bad. I think the same thing happened about chelation therapy years ago. They wanted to outlaw it in Florida, and people by the thousands across the state came out in opposition of that law being passed because they say chelation therapy has helped me a lot. Recently, just a couple of years ago, they did a trial to assess chelation therapy paid for by the federal government. And after 2 years of evaluating the effectiveness of chelation, it came out that it was very effective, just as good as some of the mainstream medicine approaches. And yet, all along, mainstream medicine bashes chelation therapy. They don't bash it because it's an inferior treatment. They bash it because it's a very effective competing treatment and a lot less expensive than what they're selling.
The AMA actually went to court with the Chiropractic Association because of making claims against the practice of chiropractic, that it was dangerous and problematic and ineffective and fraudulent, all of that. But guess who won?
Well, the chiropractors won because apparently the AMA thinks we're stupid. You know, they're going to tell us that we're spending all this money on a treatment or in what we're talking about, or supplements that are dangerous and bad for us, but we keep spending all this money on it, on the products that don't work or treatments don't work because they say so and they want us to use their treatments. In fact, we're running away from their treatments, and that's why we're spending money on alternatives.
So many individuals that I talk to, they'll bring the prescription script or they'll bring the actual prescription to me and say, well, what do I think of it? And I said, it isn't what I think of it. Let's look up the very manufacturer, what the manufacturer has to say. This is used to treat X, and here's the list of side effects. These are the rare side effects. These are the common side effects. And when you read that list of side effects as given to you by the manufacturer, by the creator of that drug, you make a decision if the risks are worth the potential benefit.
Now, I brought a chiropractor into the practice. Because I know that even functional medicine, the way we use it, is limited in how effective it can be because chiropractic adds another dimension to helping people. Now, yesterday it was reported to me that one of the patients who had been complaining of some kind of pelvic pain for almost a year had been to lots of different doctors. You know, she's under the care of a lot of doctors. She comes to us to monitor her hormone levels and things like that. But nothing would make that pain go away. And I said, well, how come, you know, go see the chiropractor. And after, I think it was just one treatment, she said the pain is 90% better. I mean, you know, that just goes to show you why people are running away from mainstream medicine and looking for alternatives.
I think that you happen to have an exceptionally highly qualified, very gifted chiropractor. He has a number of different approaches, and he's so in tune with evaluating the source of someone's discomfort. I've been to Dr. Mike, and he's incredible. He's excellent.
Well, I brought him in not to use him as you know, as traditional chiropractors go, to treat a problem that you may have. Although if you have a problem, I might suggest going to him. But I brought him in for preventive chiropractic. In other words, make sure that your body is in its optimal state from a chiropractor's point of view, because that'll also prevent a lot of problems later on down the road. Specifically, I brought him in because I see so many people going for knee replacements and hip replacements. I said, what's going on here? I said, well, that's the best. Here's a perfect example. That's the best that mainstream medicine has to offer. We'll let your hip get bad enough so we can replace it, or your knees get bad enough so we can put in a new knee. Instead, I'm saying, well, wait a second. There must be something else that can be done. How about a novel approach? Let's prevent the need for hip replacements and knee replacements.
And along those lines, coming up on one of our shows, Dr. Slavin, is a discussion about collagen and supporting collagen. And when you're doing that, your joints function in so much more efficient and comfortable a manner.
Well, one of the things I'm going to bring up during that program is Linus Pauling's theory that coronary artery disease is really a collagen deficiency disease or a chronic scurvy disease, which is another way of saying it, and you know, see if what his take is on that.
Okay. It's going to be very, very interesting because here's a Nobel Prize winner, Dr. Linus Pauling, and that whole concept of vitamin C, and yet Frontline sees fit to critique supplementing with vitamin C. And we know when you're exposed to processed food, when you're exposed to high sugar intake, all of those, when you're exposed to stress, all of those things minimize the function of vitamin C in your body. Use up the vitamin C very, very quickly. So what is something that the AMA wants to do? They want to limit vitamin C supplementation to 60 milligrams per capsule. That should be the highest level that you should be getting in a capsule. And
well, that was Codex Alimentarius. You
right.
Don't hear much talk about that, but that should tell you just how effective vitamin C is if they want to limit your access to it.
So benign a substance, and yes, be very, very careful. That music means it's time for another break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned, more to come.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. Or amtcenters.com.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. The final few minutes of Natural Doc Radio, and our conversation has kind of followed a very winding path today. What is left on your agenda, Dr.
Well, again, don't let the so-called experts intimidate you, and that includes your physician, and don't be afraid to ask a question. And if your doctor gets put off by your questions, find a different doctor. What does he have to hide by answering your questions?
But he's following the information from Dr. Peter Cullen of Harvard, and he is a perennial supplement critic.
All right, that reminds me of a program that was just on TV. I forget which one it was. It was about that doctor, the oncologist, who is diagnosing people, telling people that didn't have cancer they had it, so he could make money treating them. And he made millions of dollars treating them. And I was wondering, how could that happen? Because I know when I send a patient to an oncologist, if they want a second an opinion from them, which I'm all in favor of, you know, find out what your options are.
Find out as much as you can.
I usually know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the patient has cancer because I've done an appropriate evaluation in advance of sending them there. But here, obviously, some primary care doctors were sending them there with questionable diagnoses of cancer or early stages or precancer, and then this doctor would say, aha, you have cancer, you need to be treated. Now, speaking of that, and we talked about this last week, about the Gardasil vaccine, and there's another vaccine that does the same thing, Cervarix.
What is that?
It's another, like Gardasil, preventing the HPV. They say unscientific scams with deadly consequences for children. Now, that's what the PBS program should be about, but I haven't seen anything like that on PBS about the dangers of vaccines. They say here that one of the foremost researchers whose work led to the development of the two existing human papillomavirus vaccines now warns that as currently used, those vaccines have not been proven safe or effective.
Oh my goodness. And not word one on that frontline special.
Just skipping down to the bottom, parents and women must know that deaths have occurred. Not all deaths have been reported, and one-third of the deaths were, the CDC didn't even know about it, leaving parents of the deceased teenagers in despair that the CDC is ignoring the very rare but real occurrences that need not have happened if parents were given information stating that there are real but small risks of death surrounding the administration of Gardasil. Now, we talked about this last week about one girl who, she didn't die, but she developed serious infections or symptoms that just didn't go away over time. They persist. And in their evaluation, it turned out that she had a lot of underlying exposures to various viruses and tick-borne illnesses, which are very common, but they weren't giving her any symptoms. And it's felt that the vaccine was the straw that broke the immune system's back and allowed all these things to flare up. So here's a perfect example about the safety and efficacy of vaccines. The key factor, according to Harper, who was the I think one of the researchers there, is that cervical cancer rates in the United States and other Western countries tend to be very low to begin with. Even if the HPV vaccine does prevent cervical cancer and not just the human papillomavirus infection, an outcome that has never been proven, by the way, this is unlikely to have much effect on cancer rates. In addition, cervical cancer is highly treatable if detected early, if you get your yearly Pap test. And I think that's something that's been delayed. You know, they said every year, then they said every 3 years. I think if you're sexually active, you probably should get it every year. If you catch it early, you don't get cancer right away. You might see the presence of the HPV viruses, which puts you at risk. But the majority of people that are exposed to HPV get over it on their own.
Okay. And HPV, you are much more vulnerable to that virus, to an abnormal pap, if you are using hormone replacement therapy during menopause, or you have been given oral contraceptives. And the number of 14-year-old girls that I see who have been told, okay, the menstrual problems that you're having, we'll take care of, we'll eliminate them, we'll put you on this oral contraceptive. What happens then is antioxidant nutrient levels are significantly suppressed, and very specifically, low levels of B12 and folic acid, and sometimes it takes an absolutely mind-boggling amount of folic acid to actually recover from that folic acid deficiency.
One of the companies who is a leader in the providing practitioners, you know, physicians with supplementation, is coming out with a 15 milligram folic acid tablet. So they know the benefits of high doses that some people may need.
Right. Some people need that to actually get their folic acid levels over 20, over 24.
Well, I've seen that over and over again. If a patient presents with an abnormal pap, a lot of times it'll say, you know, maybe precancerous or suspicious. Put them on the high doses of folic acid, and then a few months later they get a repeat pap, and it's normal.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it allows it to heal up.
Okay, zinc levels are critically important, and when you're supplementing with zinc, you need to have zinc and copper in proper ratio for the zinc to actually act in the very efficient way it's capable of, and then vitamin A, C, E, D. So it's a very, very comprehensive supplement approach that you can use to actually recover from that those abnormal cervical cells.
But the gynecologists aren't paid to get you well. They're paid to diagnose and treat. So they will watch abnormal pap tests by repeating it, doing nothing to get you well. Then they'll go on to doing colposcopies, and then they'll go on to doing the surgery. Either cryo or they have some other procedures they do, and this is how they treat it. They cut/burn, all that other stuff.
Okay, and it's over and over and over that they repeat these procedures with no discussion that the synthetic hormones that the woman may be taking can as a contributing factor to these abnormal cervical cells. It's a very, very sad situation, and one that has been around for 20, 25 years with regard to those abnormal paps.
That's why we pass along this information, so we empower the consumer to find out things for themselves. And if you ask your gynecologist, what about this? And they would say, no, that's dangerous, or it doesn't work.
It doesn't work, and it's not proven is what I get. As feedback from the women that I talk to.
So it doesn't work and it's not proven, but go ahead and do it on your do it anyway.
Sometimes if you want to throw your money away is a phrase as well.
You know, but I would say, well, throwing your money away is these doctors allowing you to get sick and then treating you for things they could have prevented if they were so inclined and did their own research. And, you know, they should ask the question, what can we do to keep people from getting sick? I mean, that's where I come from.
Why would they want to do that, Dr. Slavin? You addressed that at the beginning of
the show. That was like the cancer industry. Why would we want to ruin the whole industry of cancer?
Interrupt a steady stream of patients.
That's why it's up to the patient. And they're doing a better and better job of it. We see the growth of organic foods available. We see the increase in supplement sales, and that came out about, I don't know, 20 years ago. There was a report in the New England Journal of Medicine about just how much money people are spending on alternative treatments. And that was a wake-up call to mainstream medicine. But they can't compete with the preventive medicine approach because it only makes sense. Why not do more to prevent yourself from getting sick instead of allowing yourself to get sick and then taking all the drugs that they have, not to get you better, but just to treat the symptoms that you've created for yourself?
And so what you want to do with regard to your health, having your primary care physician, having the specialty medical practices available to you, that's where you go for a diagnosis. The additional part of that discussion is there are a lot of different approaches to address a diagnosis. Just going back to knee replacement. Okay, that's an issue, something that you can use if you're dealing with knee pain or poorly functioning knee. And then there's chiropractic, there's acupuncture, there's supplementation, there's collagen, there's hydration, there's magnesium. There are so many different aspects to address knee pain. So you get the diagnosis, you find out what you're dealing with, and then choose the complementary approaches that are options before you get into a surgical situation. And we are out of time here on Natural Doc Radio, but we'll be back tomorrow. Lots of very important topics for supporting your good health. Tonight, Toonies, annual health and wellness seminar at the Carl Springs Center for the Arts. Doors open at 6 o'clock. I'll see you there. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy.
The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.